Now, this is Mozart. That's the first phrase. Now that's the second phrase. What happened? Okay. In this case, it was dominant. First one was dominant, and then the second one was tonic. Let me play it again. Do you really want to end the piece right there? No, you're not home. So, that's okay, right? You could end there. So, in this case, we have two phrases, and if you notice, they sound very much alike. In fact, they're identical until I get, if I play this up to there, you really can't tell which one it is, whether it's the first one or the second one, until I play from there, you know. At that point, you know, because it's a half cadence, you want to stop here. So that's what's going on when we deal with questions of tonic and dominant as far as the phrase is concerned. Now, this is a tune I'm sure you've heard. There's the first phrase. Second one. It's about six phrases here. Listen closely. Third. Fourth. Fifth. Okay. I wanted to play that once, and now I'm going to play it a second time. There are six phrases here, and if you listen closely, what you'll find is the last two, you'll hear four phrases, and then you'll hear the last two of those four repeated, which will give you six altogether. So the last two are going to be just like the two before that. So I'm going to play it again, and again I'll sort of, you know, raise a finger or something so you'll know precisely where each phrase ends. Listen to it and just jot down somewhere either, you know, H or F or half full or tonic dominant, whatever you want to indicate what kind of cadence you're hearing. There's the first. Second. Third. Fourth. Five. And sixth. Okay, the first phrase. How many heard? Or the first cadence, I really should say. We're talking about the cadence at the end of the phrase. How many heard tonic? Okay. How many heard dominant? Okay, dominant seemed to be the majority here. And you're right, it is five or a half cadence. Second phrase, how many heard a full cadence or the tonic? Okay, how many heard a half cadence or dominant? Okay, majority rules again. In this case, it's a full cadence. Okay? Third phrase, half cadence. Okay. Full cadence. Okay. The majority is doing quite well tonight. I guess you'll be happy to know. It is a half cadence. And the fourth phrase? Fourth phrase is full. And you already know that five and six are just like three and four, right? So if you call this a half cadence, then you need to call this a half cadence, right? I'm pointing this out about the, in this case, there's no ambiguity with these cadences. These are pretty clearly that. This is, and I'm going to play it again. That's what they are. But I'm pointing out this business, if you call something this and it appears again, then call it the same thing. Because sometimes when we get into other aspects of musical structure, there is sometimes ambiguity, just like there was in the first piece, about things. But when you hear something, and part of listening to music is remembering what you've heard. Now, I don't mean consciously remembering everything you've heard, because you won't. I don't expect you to go hear a Brahms symphony and come out and remember every bloody phrase of it. I mean, Mozart could do it, by the way, or Mendelssohn, but I don't think the rest of us can. That is true, by the way. Someone like Mozart, one of the things he could do was to go, at one point when he was about 14, he went to Rome, and there was a very famous piece in a chapel that existed in a chapel in Rome, a monster choral piece, and it existed only in manuscript, and it was never published, and the chapel was very jealously guarded, the piece. Well, Mozart went in and heard it, and then went out and wrote the whole thing down from one hearing. But we're not trying to quite reach that level in here. But the point is, as you're listening to music, what happens is that you'll hear something, and then later on, that something will come back, and you will have some memory of that. And it's that accumulation of memory as you listen that has a lot to do with the music somehow speaking to you and what you feel about it. It's a combination of memory and expectation. Remember last time we talked about beats and rhythms and meters and things that create certain patterns of consistency and expectation. And we'll find the same thing going on here. And that's why I'm pointing these things out to you, because what we're doing is building up some experience in that kind of remembering. Now, I'm going to play this thing another couple more times. I'm going to play it a third time, and I'm going to ask you to do something else. What we're moving towards here is musical form. That is, how do we organize these pieces? Or how did, in this case, Beethoven organize this piece? And what we're going to do is try and label these phrases as to whether they're the same phrase, a different phrase, or a variant of the same phrase. And it's very simple. We take letters. The first phrase, we'll assign the letter A. And every time we hear that phrase again, we'll write the letter A down. And the next, if we hear a different phrase, then we'll just go to the next letter, B, etc., for however many letters we need. So, and if we hear, let's say you hear this something that's very similar, but not quite the same. That is, it maybe starts the same, or it's fairly close, but it's really a bit different in some way or the other, then you would use a prime, like A1 or A prime, something like that. So if you hear a phrase, the first phrase is A. The second phrase, if it's exactly the same, then you call it A. If it's a variant, and when I say exactly the same, the instrumentation might be a little different, but if it's the same melody and basic tune and does the same things, then it's the same. But if it somehow sounds similar, but does something different, maybe at the end or something like that, then you would call it A prime. If it sounds like something entirely new, then you would call it B. So we have six phrases here, and what I'd like you to do as I play it a third time is letter it out, and let's see what we get. Thank you. The first phrase. Cadence. Second phrase now. Third phrase. Fourth phrase. Okay, did everybody get A for the first phrase? Okay. You're doing well. Okay. A. Okay. Second phrase, what do you have? Okay. I think I hear almost everyone say A prime, right? Because it was really the same until you got to the end, and we already know that the cadence is different because we've gone through that. And so that's a good example of a variant, A prime. Okay, how about the third phrase? Okay, I think I heard almost everyone say B. Yes, that was something different. Now, the fourth phrase. Okay, I'm hearing three possibilities here. Okay, how many say A? Okay, not too many people. How many say A prime? Okay, quite a few. How many say B? A few. Okay, did anybody put C on there? That is theoretically possible at this point. In this case, it's A prime. It's like the first one, almost identical to the first one. Now, what if you heard something that was another A but a different variant? What would you do? You would just add another prime here, A double prime or A2, however you want to call it. And you can keep doing that too at great length. But in this case, it's like the second phrase, A prime. Now, I've already told you what the fifth phrase is going to be, right? B. And B is correct. When you were doing it, whatever you put for the third phrase, you should have put the same thing for the fifth phrase. Because in this case, 3 and 5 are identical, and then the same thing here. 4 and 6 are identical, and so if you originally had A, for instance, or B or B primed or whatever, those should be the same. Are you all with me? Is anybody lost? Does anybody have any questions about what we're doing? Have you noticed, by the way, that you're actually hearing tonic and dominant? Because what determines whether you hear that full cadence or half cadence is whether it ends on the tonic or the dominant. So you really and truly do hear it. Now, you may not recognize it and identify it as such, but that feeling of completeness or incompleteness or finality or lack of finality, that's what tonic and dominant are really about. Now, finally, before we leave this, one last playing. Beethoven sort of brings in the whole orchestra for this last version. Goes off into other things at that point. In case if you don't recognize the piece, by the way, and if you're curious, that's the final movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony that you've just heard. I'd like you to try this with one or two other pieces, because this is, as I say, this is fundamentally important to understanding music in the classic and romantic era. So the next example I have on here is actually what I played on the piano just a minute ago, only this is played by a pianist. I am not a pianist, by the way. That is not my instrument, so if you'll forgive me when I do examples like that. But I played, if you remember a minute ago, I played two phrases and over here. And the first phrase ended with a half cadence, and the second phrase ended with a full cadence. And we also said that the two phrases were really quite similar until you got to the cadence or got close to the cadence. So you have a good bit of information already. You know that if you were lettering it, the first phrase you would call A, and the second phrase would be A prime. And notice it's exactly the same pattern that we have here. This is a very, very common pattern in classic and romantic music. That is to take two phrases and put them together, have the music be the same, except the first phrase ends with a half cadence and the second phrase ends with a full cadence. This happens over and over again. It's one of the most common patterns that you'll hear. Now, what I'd like to do is play a longer section than just the two phrases that I played on the piano, and I'd like you to, as you listen, try and identify the pattern here, whatever it is that we might have, and if make a note of cadences too. Are you ready? We'll go over this several more times, but let's sort of take it piece by piece, because there were quite a few. How many, just out of curiosity, count up the number of phrases that you got. Okay, how many got more than four? Okay, how many, throw out a number, anyone? Eight, okay, I heard eight seemed to be a predominant number. I heard seven. How many had eight? I heard quite a few people say eight. How many had less than eight? Okay, how many had more than eight? Okay, we seem to be centered, how many were more than 10? Okay, how many were less than, let's say six or less? Okay, well, how many were more than 12? Okay, well, we're in the ballpark at least, aren't we, on this. That's okay, because towards the end, there's a tricky little thing that happens here. And that's the reason I'm playing it, is to illustrate a point. That you may have heard at the very end, there are different ways you may have interpreted what happened at the end. But the first part was pretty straightforward. We have those two phrases, A and A primed. Now, what happened after that? They repeated. Both phrases repeated exactly. So that gives you A primed, A primed. Now, what happened at that point? Something different, right? And what we had at the beginning, this is A. There's our half cadence, and now A prime. Now, I'm not going to play the repeat, but it went on to this at that point. Now, that's B. What kind of cadence, by the way? Half cadence, on the dominant, right. Now, it's this, what happens next that gets interesting? Because here's... Sounds like A, doesn't it? Now, the question is, that last segment, how many phrases did I play? Okay. I hear most people saying one, but I hear some people saying two. Let's see what goes on. First of all, does it sound like an A or a B or what? Okay. A, and I hear, okay. Okay, I hear most everyone saying A of some sort. I hear some people saying A prime and some people saying A two. Here's what happens. We have, it certainly starts off just like A. In fact, what goes on here, up to a certain note, it's going to sound exactly like A primed. Now, if it's A primed, you would hear and be done with it. But what happens is you get to that point, and Mozart, this is a Mozart sonata, where, let me back up about a measure or so. He doesn't let you off the hook. He sort of keeps the tension going, and then he goes on to this. Now, the question is that a different phrase or not? That's where you get into questions of interpretation. Here, I think we would, most of us would say probably not, because he never really brought if it is a different phrase, he never really brought the other phrase to a cadence. It sounded like he was going to, and then he sort of threw a curve at you. You know, he essentially what happened, this is where I'm talking about how a composer deals with expectations, because everyone in here, I'm sure, either consciously or subconsciously, as you got to that point, was expecting that, because that's what happened at A prime. But we got something else, we got that lengthy extension, and that gives us A2. What we end up with, at this, up to here, is A prime, A primed, B, and then A2, which is really taking A and just stretching it out a little bit more to make a more impressive ending, but not really letting the phrase come to a halt. It's just like a singer that, you know, starts to sing and starts to end and then sort of takes off in a little flourish or something like that. That happens over and over in music. And now, one more question. After this, is that the end or was there more? And what happened after that? Okay, another B. And let me write it down here. And then? Okay. In other words, what Mozart did in this case was to take these, you remember how he took these two and repeated them? In this case, he took these two phrases and repeated them. So again, if you heard, maybe you heard this as A. If you heard this as two phrases and you said, well, I hear this as some sort of A, but then there's something else, which I'll call another form of A or something like that. If you heard it as two phrases, then again, that's the way you should be hearing it the next time he plays it. So in this case, this is what I mean by remembering and being consistent. If you heard it as a single phrase, which I think most people did and is probably closer to the mark, then it should be done that way. So what we have is A prime, A prime, B, A2, B, A2. That's the phrase pattern of this particular part of this sonata. This is, in case you're wondering, this is Mozart's sonata in A major. Any questions? Am I losing anybody up to this point? Now, this may seem a little bit on the tedious side because we're going through these things minutely, phrase by phrase, but I'm doing it in order to give you a sense of how music unfolds. Remember, we started with the beat, now we're up to the phrase, and eventually we're going to move on up to larger units. But it's this business of piling up fragments of music that somehow stick in your ear, that you remember, that cause you to anticipate further things. For instance, I hoped everyone at this point was anticipating this to be just like A1. That's the way, that's what hearing music is all about.